Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. I'll go ahead and read from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I went ahead and read through to the seventh verse, through the seventh verse, because of the connections there. We have looked at several heads on this subject. One of the grand identifiers of the true God, I consider the doctrine of election. The holy, righteous prerogative of God. It is only God who elects people and saves people. The infallible distinguisher between grace and works religionists. Works religionists do not believe in election. The precious foundation of the gospel. Election is in the very foundation of the gospel. The blessed assurance of preservation and perseverance would receive much strength, much empowering for our assurance and our preservation from the doctrine of election. If we are eternally chosen of God to salvation, and we understand that, what a strength and comfort of the saints. A great promoter of righteousness among God's people. The resolution of the problem of how God can be righteous in choosing some to salvation and damning the rest who are no worse to eternal judgment. The doctrine of election is a great humbler of man, at least religiously, because if he considers the doctrine of election and what God has done in electing him to salvation, and he knows his own sinful nature, knows that he, struggling as hard as he may to be as righteous as he can, there's nothing more humbling than the knowledge of eternal electing grace, because he knows that he is not worthy. He has not earned and cannot earn God's salvation. Is a strong promoter of gospel labors. Now, on these heads, we justified the heads by looking at the scriptures from which they could be taken. Election is a strong promoter of gospel labors. It discovers the enmity of the human heart to God. It teaches us emphatically of the depravity of man's nature. Election demands proper concepts of God. The electing God is clearly different from the God who is more or less at the whim of the people he's saving. It destroys presumptive views of salvation. If you understand the doctrine of election, you know that you did not deserve to be saved. And you know God is a lot bigger than you grew up thinking, and is usually a lot bigger than most people who think they're Christians ever understand that he is. So it demands proper concepts of God. Election determines and secures the success of God's eternal plan of redemption. It was not a God hoping that these people that he elected would be saved. They're going to be saved. They were created to be saved. Destroys presumptive views of salvation. For a man to study himself and to know himself, and then to suppose that he actually has any power that helps save himself, is a person who is a fool where God is concerned. The design of the atonement, and this was our last head that we covered, design of the atonement is co-equal and coordinate with the design of eternal election. They are the same. They are part of the same. And that's where we stop. So we'll start over again with the doctrine of election. I don't know if I gave you Thayer's definition on election, that my mind right now says I did, but Thayer on election, on the meaning of the word so translated, the act of picking out, choosing. Especially used of that act of God's free will by which before the foundation of the world he decreed his blessings to certain persons. Election is not a word that warms the heart like mercy and loving kindness, grace, reconciliation, and redemption, but it is a word to put strength in us concerning our salvation. Election the act of God choosing men to salvation freely is the grand identifier of the true God. What can more clearly declare to man that God is God than for God to tell man that he, God, can't be manipulated, he can't be bought, he can't be forced, he can't be beguiled, or imposed upon. Even in that which is of greatest concern to men, God acts solely on his sovereign will. He acts solely on his sovereign will. Man does not control God in any degree at any time. Election then reveals salvation to be the righteous prerogative of God. We think of the heroes of the scripture, and we may ask why God has elected, chosen them. We think of ourselves, who we know hopefully better than anybody else, and we sure ask why he elected us. We cannot, as human beings, keep from getting ourselves in the way of scriptural truth. It's almost impossible for us to think that God elected us, God chose to make us, and we didn't have anything to do with it. But that's the truth. Amen. And God saves us. He made us the way he wanted to, and he saves us because he wanted to. He didn't save us because he felt sorry for us. He didn't save us for, I can't give you a reason why he would have saved us. Just because he wanted to. Just because it was his will. And that was true of Noah. Yes, Noah built the big boat after 120 years, or during 120 years, and rowed out the ocean. But all, God was the one that was ruling Noah and his family and so forth. Noah did not earn the right to be among the eight people who survived the flood. It was God in his grace, and God in his purpose, his eternal purpose, that made it that way. So Noah has a singular place in all of our Christian thinking. He was the only Noah. He was only him and his family were the only survivors of the flood. But God told them how to make the ship. God designed the ship. God brought the animals. And God took care that the ship did not sink. Abraham, he was a great man in our eyes. And he should be. He is a great man in the Christian history, or the history of people that know God. He was a friend of God, and God called him his friend. But he did not earn salvation. Lot, Jacob, not Esau, they were twins, and Jacob was the youngest, yet he was of the election, and his twin was not. Moses, instead of any one of the other slaves, God picked Moses. He picked Israel from the nations of the world, Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 10. He picked Rahab, a former harlot, to make her into the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took Ruth instead of Orpah. David, Jonathan, Hezekiah, Manasseh, exceedingly wicked, yet God chose and converted him. And I listed Josiah, who was in some ways was a favorite with me, though his father was wicked. Why did he choose any of them? Because he's God. You try to think of it any reason you want to, he chose them because he is God. He chose to make them because he is God. It's not because of who or what they were or what they could do. Ultimately, he made them what they were, just like he makes us what we are. Election, then, again, is the act of God's choosing men to salvation freely. It's the grand identifier of the true God. In Matthew 11, 25 through 27, there's a timely passage. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. My watch is sure different than that clock. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. God election is the identifier of the true God. Romans 9, 15 and 16. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I'd like to have read the whole chapter, but I'm just picking a couple of verses out that serve my purpose. Verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. This is the sovereign God. The election are going to be saved, and nobody else is going to be saved besides them. Even in that which is of greatest concern to men, eternity, God acts solely on his sovereign will and determination. Election then reveals salvation to be the righteous prerogative of God. Election is revealed to be the precious foundation of salvation. In many places, we're close to one here, back up to Romans 8, and I will read beginning at verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom? Note, according to his purpose, he called them. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You can ponder on that for a long, long time. Who shall lay anything? Other people have seen us sin. Other people have heard us lie. Other people may have heard us say bad words and that kind of thing. But who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. His people are justified. Whatever God has, I'll use the word, permitted them to fall into or to do. He is the one who has justified. A short definition of justified is to be declared, not made, but to be declared righteous. Amen. God, and that's the difference between works, religion, and the truth of grace, salvation. Election is revealed to be the precious foundation of salvation. There are lots of other verses I could use. That's why it is found so often in letters to churches comprised of Jew and Gentile. So we Gentiles would know that salvation is by grace and not by the works of the law. We'll look at the beginning. Well, was that Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, I'll read this lengthy passage. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen him. Note that, chosen, that's election. According as he hath chosen him, chosen us, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That was what Sam strongly adverted to in his sermon a while ago. In Titus 1:1, well, we look at 2 Timothy first. We're talking about election. 2 Timothy 1:9. who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Why did God choose you, Christian? Because God chose you. That's why. You can't give another reason. You can't honestly look at yourself and find a reason why God would have chosen you or should have chosen you. God chose you because he is God and to suit his own self. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I'm just giving you a few of the many verses so that you realize that this doctrine of election is not just a little bitty thing. It's a big thing. 1 Peter 1:1-2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And I'll go to one other, go clear back to 2 John. One, the elder unto the elect lady. The elect lady. He points out that here is a woman who is of the election, whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Election is used in Scripture as a means of distinguishing between works and grace. Go back to Romans 11. And read verses 1 through 7. I say then, hath God cast away his people? This started back in chapter 9. But I'm just reading this part of it. We may get to chapter 9 later on, but probably not today. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, whom he foreknew. Election are hand in hand. Wot ye not what Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed my prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained. He's talking about the religious nation. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. The election within Israel are all going to be saved, just like the election out of Israel. The election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. You're living in a world full of blind people. Hopefully your eyes are opened, or will be. Certainly Paul does distinguishes between works and grace in his whole argument of Romans 9, 1 through 21. I say the truth of Christ, in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law, the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom is concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they're not all Israel which are of Israel. You always want to remember that. There are some, they seem to be more of them against among the dispensationalists that act like they believe that if you're of the nation of Israel, you've got an end with God for going to heaven. But it's not so. And this tells you that it is not so. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Why do you say that? Isaac was a promised baby, and Isaac was God's elect seed. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise, God's election, are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at that this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, the purpose of God, the purpose of God, we read it over and over, according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? That's the first thing the natural man's heart will say to him, or his mind will say to him, that's not fair. That's not fair. God's not concerned with being fair. Right. He's concerned with being God. Whatever he does, he is righteous, and he does it in righteousness. As is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Don't think of this word hated, meaning he was, God is boiling over with anger at Esau or anything. No, a better translation for our time would have been rejected. Esau have I rejected. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, here it is again. As far back as Moses, we find this the first time. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, in a little aside, you children, pay attention to me. People get it in their minds that they don't have to be very careful or very strict or concerning what they're hearing, concerning their salvation, because God's always going to be there, and he tells us to come, and we can come whenever we want to. That's preacher talk. You can't come whenever you want to. In fact, it is a part of the moral insanity of our depraved nature. Amen. That when we the first time we ever hear of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not run, so to speak, to get to where we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are depraved. We are much more ready to disbelieve than we are to believe. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Apparently, Pharaoh was only created for God to use him in the way that he did and destroy him who was the greatest power in that part of the world at that time. And God made a fool of him. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Whom he will, he hardeneth. I don't know what you're thinking right now, any of you who are not believers, but you are hearing that God will determine your fate, your destiny, according to his will. But you say, he tells me to seek him out and to believe on him. Yes, he does. But you know who believes on him? The election believe on him. Amen. They're the only ones that ever believe on him. But the only way you can know whether you're elect or not is by seeking God and seeking to believe on him. Therefore hath he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Well, all resist his will, and they always have until they are converted. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you to even try to answer God again? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Do you think of yourself as a piece of clay or no better than a piece of clay? Well, you should. Because when you die, you're going to go back into the ground. You'll turn back in to the dust of the ground. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? Well, I could go on and read, but it's time for me to close. 11:5, Romans 11:5 told us plainly that election of men to salvation was a gracious act of God. And 11, six. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, but otherwise grace is no more grace. It carries the same thought to its logical end. If salvation by election is salvation by grace, then salvation can't be by men's works, by keeping the law. I'll be through here just in a minute or two. For ancient or modern Judaizers to tell Gentiles, or Jews for that matter, that they must keep the law of circumcision, the law of the Sabbath, the Ten Commandments, and so forth, to gain salvation is not grace. And while most works mongers, preachers, don't add some of those things in there, they still believe that you have to do enough good works, that it takes your good works and Christ's work for you to be saved. A real Christian will have good works, and if they don't have good works, they're not a real Christian. The scripture teaches that. But it doesn't teach that you can gain part of your salvation. You have to gain part of your salvation by your good works. It doesn't teach that. That is not part of the gospel. Christ paid the whole sin debt for every one whom God elected and whom he is going to save. To tell men that faith and repentance, baptism, church membership, and so forth are necessary is true, but they're only necessary because God said so. And they're only necessary not to pay for any sin, or not to provide a righteousness that is meritorious. God's people work because gracious election brought them to Christ in faith and repentance. They don't work to become elect, but because they love the one who elected them. Whoever puts faith and repentance as the cause of election is trying to make works into grace. Election is of grace, not of works, and it's done by God only. Grace is what God does to save men. Works is what men do, Christians do, because they are saved. And you need to, Christians need, in fact, they must keep that in their mind, or they'll have at least a miserable life if they are a Christian. But you may not be a Christian if you think that your work is buying your way into heaven or any part of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful grace and goodness. Thank you for the beautiful day. We love the approaching weeks before spring, and we take great delight in our God and everything we see going on about that. Thank you for your wonderful mercy, our God. Thank you for saving people. And oh, our God, I pray that all here will in due time by looking backwards at what God has done and judging in themselves that, yes, indeed, they do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that that experience may happen with all who are here in due time. Pray for these children that you lodge this truth of election in their minds and that they will ultimately believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray in his name. Amen.